and took down some of those stuff so we can get some light in here. This morning, I want to talk to you from on a topic, and it's called Dress for Success. Dress for Success. And this was something that the Lord has spoken to me about 2 months ago. I got up in the morning, and I was getting ready for work, and soon as my foot hit the floor, the Holy Spirit says, dress for success. But I didn't understand what he meant by dress for success. So I did my routine things. I prayed, and I went out the door, and I went off to work. And while I'm there at work, going back and forth in the hallways, because I worked over here at Rockdale High School. So my job in that school is to be literally a call to every single person that calls on the radio. So while I'm floating back and forth in the hallway, the Holy Spirit says, put on the armor of God. And then I said, oh, that's what you mean by dress for success. So he says, put on the armor of God. This morning I want to talk to you a little bit about the armor of God. But I am not going to focus on the armor itself. I'm going to focus on 6 things that the Lord brought out in the armor. There are 6 things that God designed. He uses the armor as a shadow to speak to us about the protection that he has for the children of God. And so here in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, turn your Bibles with me this morning. And the word of God says in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against spiritual force of evil in heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil come, you may be able to stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can quench all the flaming arrow of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit in all occasion. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I thank you, God, for your word. Your word that doesn't come back void, but your word, when it goes forth, it will accomplish the task that it went out to accomplish. Father, I pray for the body of Christ that are seated here today, the faithful one. Father, I pray that this morning as your word goes forth, minister to your people in simplicity and in power. Father, let us not leave the same, but Father, let us leave this morning challenged, motivated, uplifted. And Father, knowing that this morning there are great things for us in store to do for your kingdom, in Jesus' name, amen. Here this morning, we have the Apostle Paul. We know that Paul is the apostle that wrote this book. And he wrote this book to the church of Ephesus. See, Paul, there was information that got to Paul, and so now Paul decided to write to the church. And we know that this is a church that Paul established, because Paul spent 3 years in missionary journey establishing church in Ephesus. And see, Ephesus is a place, it was a vibrant place. It was a seaport. It was a place where they do great import and export. And so it was known for its vast majority of businesses. So Paul went there, and while Paul was there in Ephesus for 3 years, Paul undergoes some heavy scrutiny. They come against Paul very much in that city. So Paul understand where the church was that he's writing to. And so now Paul here, he understand, ain't it good to know that sometime when you go through something, you can call somebody that understand what you're going through? Ain't it good to know? Because see, everybody is not at the same place. My walk with the Lord is not at the same place where Miss Pat at. My walk with the Lord is not at the same place where Mr. Colin is at. There are things that you've been through that I haven't been through yet. And there are times when I'm going through certain things, I need somebody to call upon. Miss Pat, I remember I called Miss Pat, you know, another time I was there, and the Lord spoke to me, and he says, you walk in the way of Seth. That threw me off big time, because I'm like, you walk in the way of Seth. I'm like, Lord, what are you talking about? So you know who I called? I got on the phone and I called Miss Pat. And she began to give me an outline of what Seth life, his whole line comes through Adam all the way down. And she was able to help me to go through this situation that I faced at that given moment, because I wasn't at the place to pull up a concordance or get on the internet and look up information. So I called Miss Pat and she helped me out greatly. There are times when we go through things in life that we need to count on our brothers and sisters to help us out. So Paul understand where this church was, because he himself been through familiar things. It was a city that also in pagan worship. A matter of fact, they boast one of the pagan worship there was Diana, the god of fertility. And so Paul now, when Paul got to the Ephesus in that city, the smiths, the guys in that who made false god, they made this false image. They would make false image of Diana and whoever the god that they chose to make. When the tourists would come in, they would go to these guys and they would buy all their false god and they would take them back. It's just like visiting New York or visiting San Francisco and you want some souvenir. That's how Ephesus was. It was a place, it was a booming place. And so when Paul got to Ephesus now, Paul began to preach Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And the Bible said that he had great success. Paul had success so much that those people who were making false idols began to get mad. And they gather around in a little group and they says, you know what, we got to get rid of this guy, because if we don't get rid of this guy, he's going to run us out of business, because all the witchcraft workers are getting saved. They all start getting saved. And I believe that's what God called Life Church to do. God called Life Church to be a light in this community. He called us to make an impact in this city. And believe it or not, we are going to make an impact. So Paul now, he's not writing to a church that he's not familiar with. He's writing to a church that he's greatly familiar with. Now the church was going through something which they need Paul's help. And so this is where we picked it up in chapter 6, verse 10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. What is he talking about here? How do I become strong in the Lord? How do I become strong in the Lord? He says, be strong in the Lord. In other words, for you to become strong in the Lord, you got to know who you are in Christ. And six or seven different times, Paul, in chapter 1, Paul speaks about you and I are in Christ. He says, you and I are in Christ. Let's read them. Let's read them right quick. Let's read off our six of them right quick. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. God chose us in Christ. He predestined us to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. In him we have redemption through his blood. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who worked out everything in conformity with his purpose and his will. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed you were marked in him with a seal, the promise of the Holy Spirit, who his deposit guarantee our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory, grace which he has freely given us in the one he loved. I don't know why am I sweating so much. But Paul here is saying that to be strong in the Lord, you got to know who you are in Christ. The Bible says that we are in Christ, and when we are made one with him, because we are one with him in the heavenly realm. He now seated at the right hand of the Father, and you are in him as he is in the Father. So in other words, what he's doing here, he's pulling us into a state of mind of relationship. He's helping us to understand that this battle that we are in is going to take more than us just coming to church, but knowing who you are in Christ, because that's how we're going to win the battle. It nerves me. It nerves me when I talk to brothers and sisters out there. I talked to two individuals that leave this church, and they couldn't give me a solid reason why they leave. You know why? Because the devil messes with their mind. They couldn't give me a solid reason why they leave the church. Satan is on the prowl. Satan he's coming in the back door of the church. He ain't going to stop you from coming to church. You can come all you want. Come. Worship God all you want. But the Bible used two words to describe Satan. In Genesis, the Bible said that he is what? Crafty. Let's look at the word crafty. Satan will design. He will come up with things and ways how to attack you that you can't even think about. Look how he approached Eve. By using the word of God and twisted it back on her. That's genealogy. He's smart. Don't think that Satan don't have much sense. Satan, he has, oh, glory to God. The Bible said that the devil schemes. What does the word scheme mean? It means that Satan plans all the time, but his plans is not plans that's... Let me read it for you. You know what? Let's go back. I'm going way ahead of myself. It's here. I'm jumping ahead of myself. But anyway, he talks about the schemes of Satan. But see, Paul understands that the strength that Paul knew that we need strength on a daily basis for this walk with the Lord. And Paul is not talking about physical strength, he's talking about spiritual strength. Because when you read Ephesians chapter, let's look at Ephesians chapter, let's go to chapter 3 right quick. Look at Paul's prayer. That's what I love about Paul. See, when Paul prays, Paul don't pray for things like, let me pray for Brother Nick and Sister Lori that their washing machine will work, or you know, so that they can pay their bills. Paul don't make those type of prayers. When Paul pray for things that's gonna affect and revolutionize your life. He makes prayers that's going to bring change. He's going to bring you closer to God. It's going to bring you in oneness with who God is. Look what he prayed for the church in Ephesus. Chapter 3, verse 14. He says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom this whole family in heaven and earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you be rooted and established in love. You see how he prays? He knows that you and I are going to need strength. And it's not physical strength. It is spiritual strength. Because the Bible said the race is not for the swift, but for those who may endure to the end. God didn't call us and expect to take us out of the world the minute he called us. He called us to do great exploit for him. He called us to be a light in this community. He called us to be life changers. He called us to be people that will make a difference wherever we are at. And he knows that your fight is not a physical fight, but your fight is a spiritual fight. And you are going to need strength. You are going to grow weary. This is why the Bible says, go not weary in well-doing. He knows that. So he says, now be strong in the Lord, because Jesus is the one that overcomes the enemy. Jesus is the one that when he rose from the dead, the Bible said that the Spirit that rose Christ from the dead dwelleth within us. And Paul is drawing our attention to you and I, that this morning that we need to come into relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have to, church. We have to. We are the one that God called to this neighborhood. We are the one that's going to make change. I remember when we were upstairs at that last meeting we were at, and as soon as we were praying, Sister Pat, Mr. Colin, you know, the board was there. And as soon as we finished praying, the Holy Spirit says, this group is going to break the chain over this church. As soon as we finished praying, the Holy Spirit says, this group is going to break the chain over this church. This church been through a whole lot. It been through a whole lot. And Satan is on the back end operating, trying to accomplish something that he can't accomplish anyway. He wants to destroy this place, but he can't. Why? Because God designed this. The Bible says, upon this rock I shall build forth my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. It was a wonderful sight yesterday to see a family that was struggling can walk into a building and get their family memorial done. The lady said she went to various places and the pastor wouldn't even talk to her. But when she came to Life Church, the church was open. And yesterday I seen the place was packed out. I was standing right here. I was counting. I probably count about 30 chairs that wasn't filled. And see, God put this church here for a reason. He put it here for a reason. When everybody turns her down, she was able to walk into Life Church, and God was able to bless that family. We are here for a reason. The Bible said, do not despise small beginnings. It may seem like we only have one or two or three people, but let me tell you something. 10 may take... Glory to God. All I have to say is that, get ready. Get ready, church. Yeah, I said it over and over, get ready, church. Those parking lots you see down the street there, they are going to get packed. Sunday morning, your favorite chair is going to be taken, because folks going to show up early to worship. Folks going to come up. Folks is coming to hear the word of God preach. And you are going to walk in and thinking that your seat is secure and somebody is sitting in your seat, because God is getting ready to do something great and awesome in Life Church. Get ready, church. He's not bringing nobody else in to do it. You are going to do it. I'm going to do it. We is the one that he's going to story. You are the one that he's going to use to the revival. You are going to be the one that's in the story, in the mix of it. Amen? Amen. So Paul now, he's not talking about physical strength, but he's talking about spiritual strength. This is one of the reasons why Paul says in Galatians 5:16, he says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God desire for us to have a relationship with his Holy Spirit. He desire for you in the morning when you rise, greet him, Father, how are you? Walk in the spirit. Let's move on because I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know your crock pot is at home on slow cook right now. I don't want to take up too much of your time. Amen. I'm just saying it because my wife does it sometime. In verse 11, he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil schemes. Now, what he's doing here, now he's including us. Now he's introducing us to our enemies and the protection that God has for his children. He uses the word scheme. What does the word scheme mean? It means make planned in a devious way or intend to do something illegal or wrong. In other words, Satan is planning for you and I constantly. How can I get him out of the things of God? You got to remember, the Bible said that you are sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Satan can't kill you because you are sealed. You are in the hand of God. So now, how can I get you to be useless in your purpose? Because God called you for great exploit. God called you for a purpose. When he sealed you, he sealed you for a purpose. And so Satan is not going to stop you from serving God. But if I can get this individual to be distracted to where they are useless in the purpose that God called them to do, then I accomplish my task. God called you to bring havoc to the kingdom of darkness. Satan is more scared of you than you of him. We're scared of the devil. You shouldn't be scared of the devil because the Bible said that the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwelleth in you. But what Satan like is he knows that the body of Christ, many of the people in the body of Christ don't know who they are. And when you don't know who you are, I take advantage of you. Amen? So he says now, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. He's helping us to understand that we are in a spiritual fight and not a fight against people of this world, but against spiritual force of darkness. See, your fight is not against your spouse. Your fight is not against your co-workers. Your fight is not against your brothers and sisters in the church. But your fight is against spiritual hosts. It's against Satan, demonic force. There's one thing you got to learn about Satan is Satan is very organized. He's very organized. Satan is not no loose cannon. He's not a loose cannon. He's very organized. And he set up a kingdom. Why? Because he learned from the best. Because the Bible said that Satan was, his position in heaven, he saw everything that took place in God's kingdom. So the moment when his heart filled with pride, he says, this is what I am going to do. I'm going to take over this camp. I'm going to get rid of all you folks, and I'm going to run the show here. But what I love about that is that the Bible said that God didn't even move. God didn't move. But he just give command to Michael the archangel to take care of his light work. Kick him out of heaven. When he kicked him out of heaven, Paul talks about three heavens. I don't know if you read it before, but Paul talks about three heavens. He talks about the earth where we dwell at. He talks about the principality where they dwell at. And he talks about where God himself dwells at. Three different heavens. So Satan is between earth and where God is at. And that's where he sets up his kingdom. And his kingdom is established to destroy you and I. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life much more abundantly. But the devil comes, what the devil comes to do? He can't kill you, but he's going to try to destroy you. I spend a lot of time looking up this scripture here. Because when I read things in the Bible, I don't just take it lightly. He said that he uses three words, and I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. He uses the word principalities. What does the word principality mean? I looked in like four or five different commentary until I finally comes up and find out what it means. Principalities are the demons who have oversight of nations. That's how strategic Satan is. Principalities are the demons that have oversights of nations. Powers. Powers are the demons wanting to possess human bodies. Rulers. Rulers are demons who have charge of Satan's worldly business. Spiritual wickedness are demons in the heavenlies that have charge of religions. Satan is well organized. Just like how God is well organized, Satan is well organized, and he comes with a purpose. He comes with a plan, and his plan is to destroy the children of God. Church, we have to take stand. We have to put on our armor. We have to take advantage of what God has given us to be successful. We have to take what God has given us to be those men and women that God called us to be. I'm tired of seeing folks out there just get beat up by the enemy. A lot of people in Georgia, you talk to them, they know God. They can run, they can talk scriptures around you. They know about God, but they are out there because Satan, they fail to put on the full armor of God. Are you with me, church? We know that Satan is real. We know that Satan, because we saw that in the book of Daniel. How many of you read the book of Daniel? In the book of Daniel, the Bible said that Daniel prayed, and he was asking God for a revelation of something, that a dream that God has given him. And the Bible says for 3 weeks, Daniel waited for God to answer. But the prayer was holed up. It was holed up by principalities. It was holed up by the enemy himself. Until the angel had to wait for 3 weeks to get help for Michael the archangel to come release him so he can bring forth the answer that Daniel need. Many of us, our blessing is holed up by Satan. You are crying, God, I need a promotion. God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need this, and God, I need that. A lot of our blessings is holed up by the enemy. He is real, church. Satan is real. I don't know why God wants me to put so much emphasis on him. But he wants me to put emphasis on the enemy this morning. Because the enemy is doing great damage to his church. The enemy is doing great damage to his church. He says now, therefore put on the full armor of God. This is verse 13. So that the day of evil come, you may be able to stand your guard. And after you have done everything to stand, stand. He said to put on the full armor, not some of it, but all of it. Turn to the person next to you and says, bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. Because Satan is not a respecter of person. He's not. Sometimes the day of evil caught us off guard. Sometimes leave our brothers and sisters in spiritual ruins. Because the Bible said he comes to kill and to destroy. He says, put on the full armor so you may take your stand when the day of evil comes. Sometimes we are not prepared for that day when the day hit us. And we are leave in spiritual ruins. I run into people before, they are mad at God. They want nothing to do with God. Nothing. Why? Because the day of evil caught them off guard. And it swept everything from under their feet. He's saying to us, put on the full armor. And let's get into it right quick. Amen. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckle around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place. I'm just beginning to preach now. Amen. He says now, put on the belt of truth. What is the belt of truth? Buckle around your waist. I want to emphasize on the word truth. See, because truth is not what I think it is, and truth is not what I say it is, but truth is what God said it is. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, no man cometh unto me except... Come on, you know the word of God. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. See, the problem that Jesus had in his days was, Jesus speak a lot of truth, but there was no one to validate it but the Holy Spirit. No one to validate his truth but the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus was ridiculed, he was persecuted, and he was crucified for speaking the truth. Pilate looked at Jesus and says, what is truth? He says, when you rise in the morning, put on truth. Literally what he's saying, that when you rise, put on Christ. Put on Jesus when you rise in the morning. Because Jesus is your sustainer. Put on truth. The Bible says in the beginning, because many commentary define truth as the word of God, which is true. So I'm going to give you a little bit of spiritual to it. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But the Word became flesh and manifest among us. So, if the Word is truth, and the Word manifests itself, then we have Jesus in our midst. So he says, now put on Jesus. No, just take a look at it. What does the belt represent? What is the purpose of the belt? See, the belt... The King Version defined it as the loin. Gird up your loins. So when you gird up your loins, what are you doing? You are protecting the most vital part of your back. This is where the seed come from for the guys. This is where the seeds come from. You're protecting your loin. Not only that you're protecting your loin, but the belt hold up the old armor itself from falling. Can you imagine running into battle and your armor falling apart? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that Jesus sustained all things with his word. Jesus is the sustainer. He is the one, he is the undergird. He's the substratum. He's the one that holds things together. The Bible called him the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone. Paul says, make sure you don't build on something different, because we already established the cornerstone, and the cornerstone is Christ. So the belt holds up all things. Jesus holds all things together. He is the head, and he is the truth, and he is the life. Are you with me, church? So he says, when you rise in the morning, as soon as you step off your bed, or you know, you probably went camping or wherever, when you rise in the morning, he says, put on truth. Put on Christ. Put on the Word of God. Make it more spiritualized. Put on the Word of God. Because that's what's going to keep you through the day. Are you with me, church? He goes on and says, now, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? That puzzled me too. He says, put on righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? I believe righteousness is one of the attributes of who God is. It's one of God's attributes, righteousness. But I believe it also has to do with the deeds of God. Now, how can you, the Bible, Paul talks about the fruits of righteousness. So now, how do I know your fruits unless you are engaged in something? How do I know you're righteous? Did you remember the story about the guy that went down to Jericho? The Bible said that when he went down to Jericho, he got mugged. It's just like walking in Atlanta. You know what I'm talking about, right? You know, he go down to the corner store to pick up a bottle of milk, and on his way back, he got beat up. Some of the neighborhoods, you know what I'm talking about, right? But the Bible said that there is a couple folks passed him on the way. The religious folks passed him on the way. The Pharisees passed him on the way. The high priest passed him on the way. But the Bible said that a good Samaritan, who was the Samaritan? The Samaritan was the crossbreed between Jews and Gentiles. That's the one that stopped and helped this man, picked him up, put him on his donkey, take him to the inn, and said to the individual around the corner, said, whatever he owes, build it to me. That's the fruits of righteousness. God called us to great deeds, good deeds. Paul talks about it. Right there in Ephesians, he says, God called us to good works. Righteousness has to do with God's deeds. The Bible said he was credited unto Rahab. You remember Rahab? You remember the prostitute when the spies go into the land and she hid them and she told them, I don't know where they're at. Lying through her teeth. But the Bible said that she was credited for righteousness because of what she had done. Now, let's look at the armor itself. What is the armor protects? It protects the vital organs of the human body, the lungs. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but what comes out of him, that's what defiles a man. He says our righteousness is as filthy as a dirty rags. So now, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. So what God is saying, that put on righteousness so you can cover the very important part of who you are. Cover your soul. Because if you don't cover your soul, Satan is going to come in through the back door and he's going to bring things into your heart that's not righteous. And when you start walking around angry and mad and carrying on like unsaved folks, now I see your fruits of righteousness. So he says, now cover the very important part of who you are with righteousness. Amen. Verse 15, and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. What kind of peace that Jesus is talking about here? What kind of peace is he talking about? Look who is writing the text. Paul. Paul is locked up in Rome in prison. And he awaits trial that in the end result in him being beheaded. Paul wrote to the Philippian church and he says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I says, rejoice in the Lord. For somebody who is locked up and locked away, he's telling you and I to rejoice in the Lord. That's a man that is in peace. See, the word, Jesus says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give. See, the world thinks that the world, this is how the world defines peace. The opposite of peace is war. But Paul here is speaking about spiritual peace. And what he's saying is that the opposite of peace for the believers is worry. How many of you worry sometimes? Come on, am I the only one that worries sometimes? Am I the only one that sit back sometimes and says, oh my God, how am I going to do this? How is this going to happen? How am I going to pay this bill? This kid now need to graduate high school, got to go to college. How are we going to do this? How are we going to take care of all these things? Now, here comes the light bill. Here comes the phone bill. Here comes this. This person come knocking on the door. And you worry, and worry turn into what? Anxiety. And for some folks that ain't got the armor on, the first thing they start popping is pills. For real. Let's get real about it, church. You go to worry, and from worry you go into anxiety. And but Jesus says, my peace I give unto you. And see, the thing now is that Jesus don't want us to be people that run around and worry about things. He said, let the peace of God rule and reign your heart. He wants to give you peace. But let's look at the other end. Look at the other side of it. He says, now the foot with the readiness of the gospel. And he uses the gospel of peace. Why is that? I think because Paul make it clear to us. He says, the revelation has been given unto me. And he says, this revelation is that the two become one. Who is the two? The Jews and the Gentile. The Jews look at me and you and says, we are not worthy of the promise. Because we are not the circumcision one. We are not circumcised, so we are not part of the promise of God. But Paul says the revelation is given unto me for me to preach the gospel to the Gentile. So Jesus Christ will take the two and make it one, and he will kill the hostility between both and nail it to the cross. And make peace between both. So now he says, take this peace, take this gospel. See, the gospel is a movement, church. The gospel is a movement. The gospel was not designed for you to get saved and keep it locked up. The gospel was designed to bring to the lost. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the millions of people that's going to be in heaven glorifying God, thanking God, if people didn't stand up and witness to others? What if Billy Graham would have said, you know what, this calling, it sounds good, but you know what, Lord, I don't know about that. These men of God that God has raised up, what if when God spoke to them and tell them, take the gospel of peace to the world, what if they would have turned to God and says, you know what, Lord, it sounds good, but you know what, I don't know about that. He said, take the gospel of peace. Church, get ready for July 27th. How many are excited about that? July 27th is going to be a prime time for us to preach the gospel. Pastor said something over there the other day. He says, don't bring nobody to me to pray for. You know you're gonna bring people to him, right? I don't know why he said that. No, don't bring them to me. It's going to be a prime day for us to win the community. We go into those community and oh, God bless their heart. Me and Sister Linda, we went to one trailer. And when we walk up to the trailer, half the trailer rotten is getting ready to fall out to the ground. And sometimes I complain about where I'm at. And see, when I saw that, that helps me to have a heart of gratitude. You know, so people are living in horrible places and horrible ways. And what we have, we take for granted. You know, you and I can go to Walmart and push our cart and come out with a full cart of grocery. For some folks, they sit back and says, oh my God, I wonder what am I going to prepare for the kids tonight. And they sit there, they wondered, how are they going to do it? Thank God for the Agape Food Pantry. Take it seriously. Amen. Let's move on real quick. I'm trying to stay on my notes here. I have a tendency of getting all wild. Amen. But the Lord says, stay on course. In addition to all this, this is verse 16. Take the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The shield of faith. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to please God. So you know what that tells me? I can please God. And what pleased God is when God see me move by faith. Why? Because he know I can't see him, but I believe that he exists. He knows I can't see him, but I believe in his word. And so that pleases God when God see us move by faith. Your crying ain't going to move God. Your murmuring and complaining ain't going to move God. Telling your husband and wife, if it wasn't for you, blah, 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 that ain't going to move God. What moved God is when you look at the situation and the circumstance and you stand back and you say, you know what, I'm going to believe God in this situation right here. God says, this is my child. Now I'm going to move on his behalf because he stand up by faith. But now look what he says about faith. He says, faith is a shield. You remember the story of Job, don't you? Come on, let me see your hand. How many of you remember the story of Job? The Bible said that that God now is in heaven conducting business. And here comes Satan in the midst of God's business. And he show up in the midst and God turned to him and says, where are you coming from? Satan says, I'm coming from going through and fro on the earth. You know what he was doing? He was knocking at each and every one of you guys' doors. He says, I'm moving back and through and upon the earth. And then God draws his attention to someone. Ain't that strange about God? I'm living my life. I'm not bothering nobody. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm worshiping. I'm loving God. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And God draws Satan's attention to me. The Bible said that God says, did you consider my servant Job? Satan replies to Jesus. Satan replies to God and he says, I saw him, but I can't touch him. I see him, but I can't touch him. Why? Because you have an edge of protection around him. See, by faith, God has placed a protection around you that Satan can cross. If God didn't put a shield around you, many of us would have been dead by now. One of the things, that, if I'm not mistaken, I was reading in the book of, I believe in Peter, the Bible said that there are some angels that God has kept bound in chain, because if he released those angels would destroy the earth. God has protected us. He says, by faith I have put an edge around you. Why do you think they talk about you so much doesn't move you too much? Why do you think when they come against you, it doesn't move you too much? Because God protects you. See, for the Roman soldier, when they would go to battle, their shield would be like a door. That's how big their shield was. And one of the commentary tells us that they will, when they come together as a and they put all the shields together, they will make a wall like this, and they will make a wall like that, and they will make a wall over the top of them. God made a wall around you. Why? Because you are valuable to him. Don't let nobody tell you are not valuable to God. Don't let nobody downgrade you. Don't let nobody devalue you. Don't let nobody think that you ain't you good for nothing. You this and you that. You are valuable to God. You are so valuable that he died for you.